You wouldn't file a flight plan with a fuel load that just barely gets you to your destination. You wouldn't pick an alternate 60 miles away and assume the weather holds. You wouldn't launch into instrument conditions without verifying every instrument is reading correctly. And you definitely wouldn't skip the pre-flight because the last flight went fine, so why do so many pilots treat retirement planning like a cross-country with no weather brief? I'm Tower. You're on ATIS here on Radio Hangar. And today we're talking money. Specifically, we're talking about the financial approach every pilot needs to think about, because AOP has been making the case lately that the same discipline we bring to flying needs to show up at the planning table too. Before we get into it, today's broadcast is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right. Let's talk about why pilots specifically face a retirement planning problem that most financial advisors won't fully understand. Your career in aviation is not a straight line. That's the first thing to understand. Whether you flew for a regional and clawed your way to a major, or you built a career in corporate aviation or general aviation instruction, the income curve in this profession is unlike most. The early years are lean, lean in ways that are almost comical. Regional first officers in this country were, for years, earning wages that qualified them for public assistance programs. That's not hyperbole, that's documented. The Airline Pilots Association, or ALPA, and aviation media covered it extensively. What that means financially is that the compounding clock, the most powerful force in retirement savings, starts ticking late for most professional pilots. Every financial planner will tell you the money you put away at 25 is worth dramatically more than the money you put away at 45. When you're making $32,000 a year in the right seat of a regional jet and paying for crash pads and commuting costs, putting money into a 401k feels like a luxury you cannot afford. The problem is, it's the one you cannot afford to skip. Then there's the furlough problem. Aviation is a cyclical industry. Full stop. Every pilot flying today has either been furloughed, knows someone who has been furloughed, or is planning around the next time the economy turns and the phone calls start. After September 11, 2001, the major carriers shed tens of thousands of pilots. After the pandemic hit in 2020, Delta, United, American, and others furloughed thousands more. Southwest avoided it through their famous no-furlough policy, but most carriers do not share that philosophy. When you get furloughed, retirement contributions stop. The gap years add up. And when you come back to flying, sometimes at a lower seniority than you left, the math gets harder. ALPA publishes data on this regularly. The career earnings of a pilot who experiences one furlough lasting 2 years are statistically and significantly lower than those of a pilot with a continuous career, even if the final salary is identical. You lost the contributions, you may have drained savings to survive, and those compounding years are gone. Here's what you need to know about how to actually build around that reality. The retirement picture for a pilot has traditionally rested on three supports. Think of it like a three-legged aircraft stand. First leg, Social Security. Second leg, a pension or defined contribution plan from your employer. Third leg, your personal savings and investments. The problem is that aviation has a complicated history with the second leg. Pan American World Airways, Eastern Airlines, Braniff, Trans World Airlines, US Airways, these weren't small operations. These were major carriers with thousands of employees and substantial pension obligations. When they went bankrupt, those pension obligations in many cases went with them. The Pension Benefit Guaranty Corporation, or PBGC, stepped in and covered some of it, but the PBGC has limits on what it guarantees. Pilots who had built careers expecting a certain pension income found themselves receiving significantly less. Delta Airlines terminated its defined benefit pension plan for pilots in 2006 during bankruptcy proceedings. United did the same. The industry largely moved away from traditional pensions and toward defined contribution plans, meaning 401k-style accounts where the company matches some percentage of what you put in. That shifts the investment risk from the company to you. The upside is that the money is yours, and it travels with you. The downside is that you're now the portfolio manager, whether you wanted that job or not. If you're at a carrier that still has a defined benefit pension, understand it fully. Know the vesting schedule, know what the formula pays out based on years of service and final salary. Know what happens to that benefit if the airline files for bankruptcy. These aren't hypotheticals. They're documented history. If you're in a defined contribution plan, which most pilots are now, the contribution limits matter enormously. The Internal Revenue Service, or IRS, sets annual limits on what you can put into a 401k. In recent years, that limit has been around $23,000 per year, with catch-up contributions allowed for pilots over 50. Max it if you can. Every year you don't is a year you can't get back. And here's something that catches some pilots by surprise, the mandatory retirement age. Under federal aviation regulations, Part 121 air carrier operations require pilots to retire at age 65. That's the rule. You can fly general aviation, corporate, charter, under other parts until your medical allows it. But the airlines, the major carriers, the regionals, they are done with you at 65. That means your income cliff is a known date. You know when the paycheck stops? Plan accordingly. Some pilots use that as motivation. If you know you're done at 65, you can count backwards and build a savings timeline with real numbers. AOPA's financial planning resources can help you do that math. How many years of runway do you have left? What do you need to accumulate to maintain your lifestyle? What will Social Security contribute? And at what age does it make sense to start drawing it? That last question, by the way, is more complicated than people think. Social Security lets you start drawing at 62, but at a reduced benefit. Full retirement age is currently 67 for most pilots in the workforce today. Wait until 70, and your monthly benefit increases significantly. If you're healthy and have longevity in your family history, waiting often makes mathematical sense. If you have health concerns or other pressing needs, the calculus changes. A fee-only financial planner, someone who doesn't earn a commission on what they sell you, can help you model it out. Now let's talk about the medical certificate issue, because this is the one that keeps aviation financial planners up at night. Your entire professional career depends on a piece of paper from the FAA that can go away. A cardiovascular event, a vision problem that crosses a threshold, a medication that grounds you. Pilots face a career risk that simply doesn't exist in most other professions. A surgeon who develops a tremor can often still teach. A lawyer with a health issue can often still practice. A pilot who loses their first-class medical is done flying for hire, period. That means disability insurance is not optional, it is mission-critical. Standard disability policies often won't cover loss of pilot certificate. You need a policy specifically designed for aviation professionals, one that covers you if you can't fly, not just if you can't work in any capacity. The difference matters enormously. AOPA has resources and partnerships specifically for this. The organization has been advocating for pilots on this issue for years. Think of disability coverage as the IMC alternate for your financial plan. You hope you never need it, but the day you do, you'll be incredibly glad it's there. Now back to the bigger picture. AOPA's point in their recent coverage is one that resonates the way good advice usually does. Simple, clear, and backed by evidence. Pilots are disciplined. We are trained to think systematically. We use checklists. We plan for contingencies. We brief our passengers on the emergency exits before we need them. That discipline is an asset in retirement planning. Use it. Here's a practical framework worth building around. First, know your numbers. What do you spend today? What will you spend in retirement? Healthcare is often underestimated. Pilots who retire before Medicare eligibility at 65 need to cover their own health insurance. That can run several hundred to over $1,000 a month, depending on your situation. Budget for it. Second, diversify your retirement accounts. A mix of pre-tax 401k contributions and after-tax Roth IRA contributions gives you flexibility in retirement. Pre-tax money is taxed when you withdraw it. Roth money grows tax-free. Having both means you can manage your taxable income in retirement, which matters more than most people realize. Third, understand your Social Security statement. The Social Security Administration publishes your estimated benefit online. Log in, check it, and build it into your projections. It's not going to be your whole retirement, but it's a real number. Fourth, get a financial planner who understands aviation careers. Not just any planner, one who understands furloughs, knows what a PBGC guarantee covers, has handled the pilot medical certificate risk before, and can model the mandatory retirement age into your timeline. AOPA Financial Services is one resource. There are also fee-only certified financial planners who specialize in pilots. It's worth finding one. Fifth, start now, not Monday, not after the next trip. Now, the single most consistent finding in retirement research is that starting earlier, even with smaller contributions, beats starting later with larger ones. Compounding is time-dependent. Time is the one resource you cannot buy more of. One more thing worth saying directly. There's a culture in aviation, especially among younger pilots grinding through the regionals, that says financial planning is for later. Right now, it's about building hours, getting the type rating, getting to the majors, getting the seniority. Financial stability will come later. I understand that. I lived a version of it, but later has a way of arriving faster than expected, and arriving with less margin than you planned. The pilots who are most stressed in their 50s and 60s are often not the ones who failed to build careers. They're the ones who built great careers and didn't build the financial runway to match.
You planned your first cross-country carefully. You briefed the weather.
You check the NOTAMs. You file the plan. Apply that same rigor to the flight you're planning right now. The one that ends somewhere around 65, give or take, and the one you'll be living off of for 20 or 30 years after that. Fuel. Alternate. Contingency. Know your numbers, protect your income, and start early. Sources today include AOPA and a range of publicly available data from ALPA, the IRS, the Social Security Administration, and aviation industry reporting. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. Safe skies.